Hey everyone, welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we talk about everything from movies to music to books and everything in between.
Wait, they
I'm
do music
Jonathan,
now?
a filmmaker. Yeah, apparently. Pretty soon. You'll see. I'm just kidding. We don't do music. I'm Jonathan, a filmmaker, and this is...
Ty, I am a wannabe writer.
Nice. And today we have a very special show for you because... We're back! We kind of took a really long break because we're lazy. And so, right?
I was trying to get episodes out, but I was like just so busy. And because nobody was holding me accountable, I did absolutely nothing. I did write up a review for Footloose, but I never got around to actually recording it. anyway.
Oh, wait, really? You were going to do that without me?
Yeah, I had the.
You were gonna review that without me.
It's still here on my notes here. I have an entire review for Footloose. I just never got around to doing it.
So okay, that aside. Today we're gonna be reviewing not Footloose, but The Lord of the Rings: The Return of the King. More like the return of our podcast. More like the return of our podcast. Am I right, Ty?
So wait, hold on. So I think our viewers are very curious, why were you away for like 3 months? Just a month. You kept on telling me, yeah, Ty, I'll be here on time. Don't worry about it, dude.
I told you that two times, but the reason that like kind of this whole break hiatus thing started was because, so first, I went on vacation to Virginia to visit my family, and I couldn't record then. And then the time between that vacation and my next vacation was a lot shorter than I thought it would be. Then pretty soon after that, we went to Colorado for a while to visit my dad's side of the family. And then after that, we came back home, and we kind of got busy with some church stuff. And then the family from Virginia came up here, and they stayed a lot longer than intended. And
this sounds like the setup to some kind of weird slice of life anime.
And then here we are. Yeah.
What a fascinating story.
That's where I was. Yeah. Oh, fun fact though. I swam across the deepest lake in Colorado. Not the whole way across, a third of the way. Because I could have gotten to the other side, too. People made me go back because they're like, it isn't safe. Oh, you're going to drown, blah, blah, blah. They don't know what they're talking about. But so I swam a third of the way out, third of the way back. So I had two-thirds done there, and I had a bit of energy, so I could have made it. But whatever, only an opportunity blown. And I saw a moose literally 15 feet away from it.
Exciting.
Yeah. So that's what I was doing. Yeah, that's it.
I was doing, like, literally nothing. I just... I've been doing the same thing as always. Playing piano, guitar.
I thought you were doing college stuff.
Writing. Yeah, well, I mean, that's expected. Just tons of math and writing. Hey, have I ever told you trigonometry is really, really hard?
Have I ever told you that we need to get this review off the ground?
Okay. No, so you haven't told me that.
The Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King, came out in 2003, and it grossed... How much did it make at the... Wow. It won 11 Oscars. Wow.
What? So, when's the next time a mainstream film is going to get that many Oscars, you think?
I don't know, man. I would tell you how much it made, but I can't find it here. So, I guess you can look it up yourself.
$1 billion. $1 billion.
Cool. Okay. I'm not gonna... It has a whole bunch of people who act in it. You know, there's these things called actors, and they're in here. I'm not going to bother naming them to you because I couldn't tell you the names. We're not going to go through that old spiel again, so that's all you're going to get this time. As you can tell, we kind of downgraded our quality a little bit because we haven't done this in so long. But that's okay because our listeners are loyal.
Yeah, that explains why our audience...
Our analytics say so.
You know, I'm gonna have to get back to you on that, buddy.
Well, this whole spiel is probably helping them. Okay, so this movie starts off on an interesting kind of weird note that I'm not a huge fan of, you probably know what I'm talking about if you've seen the film, but if you don't, it starts out with an introduction to Gollum or Sméagol, whichever, basically finding the ring and killing one of his friends, and how he kind of descended into madness and turned into the fearsome ghoul that we all know and don't love. But
love,
Ty, what did you think of this introduction? Do you think it was the best way to start one of the greatest acclaimed movies of all time, one of the highest grossing movies of all time, to start it with a weird note like this? I mean, I wasn't a huge fan. Let's hear your thoughts.
All right, so we're just gonna jump straight into that, huh? It's hard to say. I think on the one hand, I can appreciate what you're saying, you know, cut off all unnecessary fat. This was an fairly unnecessary scene that, but I mean, on the other hand, it was kind of, you know, I really don't know. This is one of the few times where I just honestly don't know what to give as an opinion about this. 'Cause I really like the scene on its own. I really do. But is that enough to justify its inclusion just because the scene was good? No,
it isn't, because then that would mean that you were wrong about Solo: Star Wars Story, because that's a good movie but unnecessary, and you were wrong about the Prince of Egypt introduction, which is good but unnecessary.
Hold on. About the Solo: Star Wars, that's a different debate, but what I was arguing about Solo was that the way they took it was in the wrong direction. Solo's character arc had already been, was a full, the full package from start to end in A New Hope.
Okay, I get it. Then how about the Prince of Egypt introduction? Because that's an amazing scene.
Well, my argument there is that it gets us attached to the wrong characters because we don't know who's there. That's the major part of my argument that I think I really missed out on when I was talking to you about it. It gets you attached to the wrong character. It gets you attached to the mother, specifically, who vanishes, like, really fast. And it gets you attached to the Israelites, which are an amalgamous mass that can't be. Whereas in this, I think it's a little bit more subjective, because we already know who Gollum is. We know who this guy is. And, I mean, honestly, it depends on whether or not you think the backstory was important. I'm not sure if the backstory was important enough to warrant a scene rather than a couple lines of. If the backstory is important, though, then this was actually a really good way of showing it. Because otherwise, it would have been like a paragraph of, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was much more succinct to show it in this action-y way, you know? So
why was it
comes down to
why was it important to see Gollum's descent to madness, though? Why was that important and in any way whatsoever?
That's what I'm talking about. I think it's important because Gollum is the antagonist, and we need to understand his reasonings and what made him the way he is.
He's not the antagonist. He's like,
you're gonna tell me Sauron, Dark Lord
because,
of the
No, that's not the way. Hey. I was, okay, so for a second there, I thought you were going to say villain, and if you say villain, I agree, he is an antagonist, but I don't feel he's nearly enough an antagonist as Sauron is to warrant the same treatment that
Sauron
is
a terrible antagonist. If Gollum isn't the antagonist, then I'm deeply disappointed.
I don't think the story actually needed a amazing antagonist. I don't, like, it ended up amazing just the way it is. I mean, I can see Sauron having a reason to do all this, I guess, would make it better. I mean, it would. But, I mean, at the same time, I feel like the journey would have been the same either way, and that's what we're really paying attention to. So I don't feel it would have had that big an effect on the movies.
Well, okay, what is the purpose of an antagonist for you? What are they supposed to do?
They're trying to go against what the hero wants, or the hero's trying to go against what they want. Basically, just two opposing forces, and they're one of them.
Okay, correct, 100% correct. Now, what's a good antagonist?
One where you know what they're doing, and you can agree with them, to a certain degree.
No, I would argue that a good antagonist is someone who reflects the main character, No, I'm not putting it into proper terminology. But it's something like that. They relate to the main character. They're not blocking the protagonist for some arbitrary reason, right? If that were the case, then a rock would be a good antagonist. If it's blocking, you know, somebody from entering where they need to go. Right? An antagonist is supposed to have his own motivations, his own ideas. And in a certain sense, he's supposed to be the protagonist of his own world. And they're supposed to be lit in the protagonist and antagonist from a satisfactory perspective. What makes it more satisfying is when the protagonist and antagonist are deeply connected on a fundamental level. And I get that far more from Gollum and his similar struggle
with you're the
ring. Sauron is just this faceless evil.
Yeah. I still don't think that he has his connection to the overall story is enough for that, though.
You're right. He's not a necessary antagonist in the context of the story, but I don't think, you know, we should just toss him out because of that. It's still a nice addition.
Yeah, but I don't feel he was tossed out. He definitely, across the second two movies, gets plenty of screen time. I don't think it's fair to say at all that he was thrown out.
No, by any stretch of the imagination. No, I'm talking about, I don't think it's fair for you to say that he shouldn't be, you know, important to the story or that, you know.
Well, I don't really get that, because he isn't important to the story, and he didn't warrant, and in the context of the story,
he's important to Frodo's character arc. You're right, he's not important to the plot, but I think he's important to Frodo's character arc. Sauron is more the villain in Aragorn's story and those guys.
You mean in everyone's story? Because if Sauron didn't exist, then none of the whole story would not have happened. I think he's like the most important player, because if he didn't exist, none of this would have happened.
I'm talking about from a personal level. Gollum is everything Gollum is everything that Frodo fears about himself, everything that, you know. He's the final end product of what would happen if Frodo continues down this path. And that's terrifying for Frodo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're getting way off topic. Weren't we supposed to do, like, a quick summary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, we've gotten way off topic. Okay. Would you mind doing the plot part? Because...
Dude, I haven't watched this movie in, like, 3 weeks.
I thought you said it was a week.
Oh, did I say a week? I meant 3 weeks.
I don't know. So much happens in this movie that it's kind of hard to just...
Yeah, there are two different plot threads, which is what makes it a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Plot thread one, you have Frodo sneaking his way into Mordor, basically. Gets there, fights with Gollum, has his finger ripped off. Throws the ring into the fire. Yay. On the other one, we have Aragorn and those guys going all over the place doing stuff. There's a fight scene somewhere. There's this guy, Boromir's dad, and he, like, kills himself. Let's see. Theoden was there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, sounds like we gave them a good analysis.
Go read Wikipedia if you can't figure it out, guys.
I literally have it open right here, and I still can't do it, so we're moving on.
Okay. Let's get back to characters, please. Understand. Okay.
So I want to start with two characters that I did not appreciate how they were handled. And I think you might know what they are. Legolas and Gimli.
I don't understand why you... This is the same thing you had in the other reviews that we've done so far. It's the same thing. They're not important to the story. What's the problem? They're side characters, so?
They were shafted so hard, man.
And you think they should have been more important? Explain.
I think they should have been better characters. Han Solo was 100% a secondary character. In the Star Wars movies, yet he's a lot of people's favorite Star Wars character. I don't understand how they couldn't have done the same thing. Just being a secondary character doesn't warrant you not being a good one. And I think we see that across a lot of different media. Like,
I'm not saying you're wrong, but what I'm saying is, does it matter? Like, if these guys had a better character arc, would you say, like, if would you say that Chewbacca not having a character arc in Star Wars makes the movie worse for you?
I wouldn't say Chewbacca. I see him as a, I see him more like a, I know he's an actual person and he, like, talks and stuff like that. But the way that he doesn't talk, but he can, like, you know, roar and be understood. But the way that he's fit into the movie is definitely more like a, you know, like the pet role. I'm just going to be honest here. I know he's his own person, but the way that the filmmakers or writers or whoever put him into the movie, he definitely has more of a pet role.
I see.
Do you agree with that?
I don't
feel like they're on the same tier.
Okay.
So I just don't appreciate, because in this movie, they, like, get almost no screen time. And I feel like, I mean, they had good actors there. They had potential. I feel if maybe they
could. So you feel, like, it's a matter of wasted potential.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I disagree. I mean, this movie was already, like, 3 hours. If there were any more character arcs going on, I think I would have just given up at that point and, like, you know, toss the DVD out the window.
I think there's stuff you could have thrown out in this movie. But let's not get to that, because we're still on characters.
Okay.
And then there was Aragorn, who, I don't know. He just felt kind of vanilla to me. He just seemed like, you know.
Aragorn was a bad character from the very beginning.
Yeah, okay. So
he was just there, man. He had this slight thing going on where he was like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to take on my duty. Yeah. And then, like, second movie flies by, nothing happens. Third movie, all of a sudden he's like, yes, I'm ready to take up my duty. What changed, buddy? Did something happen? You know?
Yeah. The only thing I like of Aragorn is I like the little love triangle he has with Aowen.
Oh gosh, stop. 80-year-old. 80 years old. Someone call the police.
I feel like in a magical, I know I was kind of like, I was kind of dissing Cars 2 for the same thing. Remember that?
yeah, I remember.
Because Mater's like, let's not bring that up right now. But I feel like in a magical land, there's ways to get around that.
This is a magical land.
As weird as that sounds. I'm not talking about the logistics. I'm just talking about the love triangle itself.
What, polygamy?
Polygamy
is an option?
Okay. saying that I liked it is not what I meant. That's like, you know, saying you like, you know, Hallmarks and those romantic comedies. You know,
I like romantic comedies.
it was kind of entertaining to be like, to, you know, oh, who's he gonna choose? Which is kind of like, which is,
well,
kind of like,
no,
you know, there's
my
like The Bachelor is like a huge show that thrives off that kind of content. So there is a market for it, you know, it is.
Yeah, but they did it really badly.
It's because it's intriguing. I know, it's because it's intriguing, then badly or not, you know? I mean, there's the who's he going to choose, it's simple.
No, what I'm saying, but
and
in
it was
this
entertaining
specific
for me.
Film,
that's all
it
I'm
was
saying. That's all I'm saying. Nothing about his character was good or entertaining at all. The only entertaining thing I think that happened was the little love triangle. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And I think
it didn't really go anywhere. Nothing really happened. There was no, it was just so much in the background, it was totally inconsequential to me. Especially because, again, all the characters in this movie are cardboard, man. Cardboard.
Yeah, all I'm saying was it was the best thing that happened to his character. Would you disagree?
That is honestly, no. Yeah, you're right. It is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know, it's the best thing that happens to him, so we'll just leave it at that. Frodo and Sam. Sam is, like, the greatest character of all time. Like, I mean, he's got to be your favorite character in the trilogy.
I think out of all of them, the Hobbits got the most personal growth in this movie. All of them really came into their own, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was actually the most satisfying part of this movie. Like, each of the Hobbits really starting to step up and become real. I don't want to say men, because that sounds like racist on so many terms. Or is it speciesist?
Sam in particular, though, I feel is the best character in any of the movies. He's my favorite, at least. He just has so many good qualities. He's just, you know, I know he doesn't really have an arc, but he's just, I mean, that's what you love about him, really. His stalwart dedication to Frodo. It's just something that you just don't tire of, you know? Do you feel that way? I feel like, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have a character arc. I don't think he needed one, and I think that's why we love him. Hello? Are you there? Ty?
A few moments later.
Hello?
Hey, I'm back. Oh, sorry, back.
Cool. Was it the internet?
I don't know. I suddenly lost connection for some reason. But it's back up now. So, we were talking about Samwise and Frodo. Oh, wait, do you have your recording still up?
Yep,
you're still recording, right? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, so I feel like Sam's stalwart dedication to Frodo and his unchanging dedication, I guess, and he doesn't have a character arc. I feel that's why we love him so much, and I don't feel he should have been changed at all. What do you think?
I think static characters are boring, and that's one of the more disappointing parts of this trilogy, is that he's pretty much perfect from, like, the first movie onwards.
I know, but that's what I like about him. Is he so perfect? I feel like he was...
Sue alert!
Okay,
Mary Sue!
What does that have to do with anything we're talking about?
Well, a Mary Sue character is, you know, perfect in every way. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
So well, Sam is pretty much Sam is pretty much a Mary Sue, if you think about it.
Well, let me just explain, please. Can I talk? Thank you. So, I think... Okay, the rest of the characters, I believe Sam has an excuse for this. I think there's a reason for his stalwartness. And it's really simple when you think about it. It's because Frodo is changing so much. And he's a good, like, guiding point for Frodo and the audience to hang on to remind them what they're doing and why. I mean, like, there's so many times in the movie where he just reminds you, yeah, you know, this is happening and why we're doing it and how.
I'm pretty sure we didn't need him to stay the same the entire time for us to know that they're out to throw the MacGuffin into a volcano. That's not exactly difficult
Frodo
thinking.
Did.
I don't,
Frodo
I don't...
did. That's what I'm saying. Frodo did.
Yeah, but then
I
it could have become a more beautiful journey of, like, self-discovery and stuff, you know, where they, all of them lose sight of their original purpose. But then, you know, somebody, something happens and they all, like, realize what they need to do.
I thought what you're describing is what happened to Boromir, and I don't think that went super great.
Well, why would one of them being the same somehow... influence that? I still don't get it.
What do you mean? I don't get what you're saying.
As in, why is it inherently better that if the other character is static and them not losing sight of their goal, that somehow makes the movie better? Explain it to me.
I don't. I think it was good for Sam, though.
What?
I don't think it was good for the other characters, but for Sam, I think it was. Like, not every character should always, like, be treated the same. Like, not every character needs to have, like, a perfect character arc. I think the other one should have had a better character arc.
Who are you talking?
I don't think... the Hobbits, I think Boromir should have had a better one. I didn't like where he went.
They basically smashed his entire arc into one movie.
I didn't like Aragorn, so... I don't know. Basically, all the characters except the Hobbits in this movie. And I think the Hobbits should have got more in the other movies, too. I don't know. What do you think? Do you want to
share
with the class? What?
I kind of...
We were talking about the character... We were talking about
why... Yeah,
I know.
Why... I mean, just now, about what should I say? I don't...
I mean, do you agree with me that everyone except the Hobbits should have had better character arcs, and that the Hobbits... should have had more character in the other movies also.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, so can we move on?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, And there's Gandalf, who's pretty much the same. He doesn't do a whole
lot. As usual.
Well, he does do a whole lot, but yeah.
I mean,
there's the ghost people. I thought that was kind of cool seeing, you know, someone who looks so much like someone who'd be on Sauron's camp be on their side and fight. That was kind of cool.
Mm.
I don't know. It'd be like, you know, if a whole bunch of hobbits started fighting, you know, started fighting the armies of Rohan and Gondor. There's the Faramir. I didn't like him. I don't like that whole family or his father. I didn't like him either. Yeah. Well, what did you think of the father, whatever his name was?
I feel like he had a lot of lost potential. Actually, like a significant amount, because they actually changed him from the book. Did you know that?
No, I've never read the book before. I'm actually starting, though. I got The Lord of the Rings, the first book, from the library. I haven't read it yet, but I will.
Yeah, Denethor was actually a fair bit better in the books, and he was far more three-dimensional. Like, in this, he's pretty much just a hate sink, right? He's just a horrible, terrible person who continually makes mistakes all the way through and never once seems to learn his lesson whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
Well, he does, but then he makes an even worse mistake immediately after. So,
what does he do?
Well, as in, you know, he seemed to show sympathy and remorse over sending his son out to die, right?
Oh,
but then
he's
responsible for pretty much trying to kill him again, right? Like, that's, it's an improvement. It's one step forward, two steps backward, you know?
Yeah, I think he should have been cut, to be honest.
Well, in the book, he
was... I feel like... Yeah, but I feel like, you know, when the book has a lot of pages and the movie has 3 hours, I feel like there was a lot more important things to cover than him, you know?
Mm.
Like, especially when you do him this bad. I don't know. I think he shouldn't have been in it at all.
If Boromir were still around, it would make for a satisfying conclusion. But, I mean, like, since he died in the first movie, it's really just an unnecessary plot thread, pretty much, right? He's just He's a rock. That's what he is. He's a rock in the way of the characters trying to execute their goals. That's it.
Yeah.
He's an arbitrary way to extend the conflict out more.
And there's Merry and Pippin, who... I mean, they were kind of cool because Merry earned his bravery pretty much, and Pippin learned to be not as dumb. It was basically the vibe I got from it. I liked all the scenes with him and Eowyn. I thought those were cool. I don't know. I just didn't. You said that you felt that the Hobbit's conclusion was earned. I didn't. I don't feel Merry and Pippin's were for Frodo neither.
I don't think it was earned. Like the earning should have come in the Two Towers, and they were pretty much cool throughout the whole way through. They didn't really struggle extensively in the Two Towers. So this is kind of what this is. This is the climax, you know, where they learn to become better people, but they didn't really struggle to become better people. So the edge kind of wears off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I still can't acknowledge that it was pretty satisfying watching them do that, but it was unearned.
Yeah. I feel like this whole movie was kind of unearned compared to the other two. I feel like the first one wasn't very good.
It was riding off the success of the other ones, pretty much.
Yeah. I feel like the first one was okay, and then the second one was good, and then this one was kind of in between those two.
Hmm.
I feel like it should have escalated a bit more, you know? Like you said, like one step forward, two steps back. I think it went one step forward and then it went back.
I thought you were about to say then it flopped into its own poop or something.
It flopped, but I don't think it was
tripped
as good as it should have been. Yeah. Maybe, yeah, tripped. That's an okay word. Okay. And I think that's all the characters, right? I mean, Théoden.
Yeah, he existed.
Yeah, he did. He was He most definitely did.
He was there.
Okay. Yeah. You had a good time. Okay. So we got character.
Yeah, let's move on to plot. Let's talk about some of the tropes and, you know, the overall narrative, which I think was really the highlight of this film. The plot and narrative, huh? World building.
How was the world built?
Maybe not world. World building probably isn't the right term. You're right.
I mean, from a filmmaking standpoint, I definitely see there was a whole world built. But what was built more from this than the first movie? Nothing, really. It was just a new castle.
I think there was some, but it wasn't to the extent of the others. You're right. But I do. But I still think that the narrative, the overall plot and story, I think was probably the highlight. Like, let's talk a bit about, like, the pacing, right? This was pretty much just nonstop from start to finish. I think this is the only Lord of the Rings movie where I was really engaged throughout the whole thing. Like, in the others, it's kind of irritating at points, you know, too slow at some points.
Okay.
This was nonstop, had me on the edge of the seat the whole time, even the parts where it was supposed to be calm because I was anxiously wondering what was happening to the other guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's a good tool that the filmmakers were able to use to what you just said about wondering what's happening with the other guys, because you know, it keeps you interested the whole time, especially in a world where it's kind of like hard to keep up with everything. I mean, if you keep up with one, then it's, I mean, I don't know. That's another thing, that the your ability to keep up with it. I'm just, for this one I was cool, but for the other two I really wasn't. You know? It just feels like...
Yeah. That was my problem with the switching back and forth in the other ones. It was disorganized. It felt disorganized.
Yeah. Especially Gondor and Rohan. I was like, the whole time, like, when there was, like, soldiers or any fighting, I was like, okay, so is this Gondor Rohan? And
What's going on? Who's here? What's happening?
I feel like the ways that the... have you seen the Clone Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how there's the different, there's a different criminal organizations, like the Pikes, and there's the Hutts, and there's the one from Solo, what was it called?
No idea who you're talking about.
It was like New Sun or something like that.
I know which one you're talking about.
Okay, but, Red Dawn or whatever. And I feel like that was, they're kind of like all the same thing, but with different names. I feel like that really trips up the viewer in this movie. And in the other one also. Like, it's kind of like, it should be like men versus, I think a way they could have kept it much more simple. Maybe like cut out some stuff. Again, I feel like they may have been like afraid. I haven't read the book, but I think most of everything that's in the book is in the movie. Is that true?
Yeah, the major events. Like, there were a lot of, like, slower moments where they're walking on roads and stuff, but other than that, yeah.
I feel like they should have been a little more free to cut even major events and places. Because, like, just for the sake of the viewer, because reading a book and watching a movie are two very different things. You agree?
Yeah, but not for the reasons you're thinking.
Okay, and I feel like having these two kingdoms, and it was the same thing with the orcs too. Like, I feel like there was, like, when I was watching, I was thinking there were, like, two different, like, companies of orcs. Like, remember when there was, like, that little orc battle going on between, like, those two different, like, species or whatever of orcs in the tower where Frodo was? Remember that?
I think they're all orcs.
I know, but it felt like did you notice that there was some kind of like species differentiating?
No.
You didn't notice that?
If they were, you're probably talking about goblins versus orcs.
Yeah. Yeah, that I feel like that should have left. And so did the Rohan and Gondor, whatever, like the beef between them. It's like it just felt so unnecessary and it just confused me the whole time and it should have been cut.
All right. Fair enough. I definitely see where you're coming from. But the antagonist, except for Gollum, in this entire story is just a total joke. They're faceless evils out for world domination, you know. And it's funny, we were talking about Endgame earlier, before the podcast started. Me and Jonathan were talking about Endgame and Thanos. And Jonathan was like, okay, Thanos has motivations and all that stuff. Why does that make him a good villain? Well, it's because apparently Sauron is considered an okay villain. And Sauron is just so bad. Like, this dude is just a joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so continue with what you were saying.
I forgot. Okay, where are we? Just a second, let me... Drops narrative. Do you want to move on to the theme? Because I forgot what I was saying back there.
Yeah, by the way.
So, I saw it. Yeah, okay. So, what do you feel like the theme was? Because I didn't really pick up on it. I mean, the theme for me, it felt like it was trying to say, like, this journey is ending. It's about to go down. Then it went down, and that was it. I didn't really pick up on any themes other than that.
I think the themes were pretty much the same as the last several movies, you know. It was about... Oh, no, you actually nailed it with the journey's end. Think about the elves going into the distance. It's the dawn of a new era, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you are right. A large part of it is about endings, the end of certain ages and the beginnings of new ones, right? And all the connotations of that. But I think there's also the themes, obviously, of, like, you know, power corrupts absolutely, right? Yeah. That's been a major theme throughout the whole series.
Yeah.
That's what The Ring is about. That's the whole thing of The Ring. So, the thing of The Ring, oh my gosh. All right, so...
So, the music and visuals.
I mean, they were good.
You were done, right? You were done? I didn't just cut you
off. Yeah. I'm done.
Okay. Music and visuals. The music was good. I feel like I have a thing about music where I don't think it should be just used to convey emotions into the people. Because most of the time, I just don't think it works out super great. It feels kind of generic to me. I think it's cool when there's, like, no music except when it has to be, and then it feels really cinematic. Would you agree?
I'm not sure I get what you mean. Like, if you mean, like, music that's just, you know, played in a minor key just because the scene is sad and, like, it's just a bunch of random notes on a scale that kind of sounds sad.
I'm saying, yeah, kind of like, hey, we're playing sad music because you should feel sad.
Yeah, it's time for like you to cry. Right.
I feel like a lot of movies do that.
And for me, some it's less movies and more TV shows.
I don't watch a whole lot of TV shows. I watch movies most of the time. But, so that's how I feel about music in movies. And I feel like a couple of movies use music really well because they have really good people doing it. Most of the time it's generic, but sometimes when they got someone really good, they're able to do an amazing job. I'll give you, like the guy who did, it was the guy who did Gladiator and Lion King and The Dark Knight. He's definitely good at it, you know.
Well,
I feel like those are what.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right. I was about to raise an objection, but nah.
I think there are movies that can use that kind of music well. The kind of, you know, the whole orchestra kind of thing. I feel like there are movies that can do it well. I feel like this is definitely one of them.
Well, I mean, yep. It's just. I really should have structured this entire review better because there are certain things that are, like, universal across all of it, you know? Actually, speaking of which, we're probably going to have to do a fourth part where we do a retrospective on the whole series, huh? Like, overall. Sure. Okay, but anyway, okay. Back on topic, so.
The visuals are obviously amazing. Everybody knows that. They're pretty good. They're decent. I'm just kidding.
All right, let's just skip to quick thoughts. I have like 8 minutes left.
Quick thoughts. I mean, this movie was a journey for me. I feel like I'm lumping this in with final opinion and summary, by the way. I feel like this was, I don't know, all these movies kind of felt like a chore to watch, if that makes any sense. Not just because I'm doing it for a podcast, but I feel like, in general, like, going through it is definitely something you have to work for, as weird as that sounds.
Did it give you a satisfying ending, though? Was it worth it? Because I think that's... I know what you're talking about. There are a lot of shows I've watched where the first several episodes are a total chore, but then it, like, builds up into something super great. And so I'm wondering, is it the same thing here? I feel
like the whole thing was a chore.
The whole thing?
It's like the whole trilogy was just a chore.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie, but I don't know. I don't really know any good. I was going to give you a metaphor or whatever for it. I think that's what the term's called. I just don't even have one. I just feel like it was still good, but it was just a chore to get through. That's all I have to say about it. They're good movies. They're not amazing movies, but they're good movies. Hope the books are better. I'll just say that.
Oh, man, we are going to get roasted. So what's the final... Oh, wait, no, I guess I should skip into my thing.
Yeah.
So, I thought... There were a lot of really good climaxes to this film, and probably the highlight of the whole thing was Samwise and Frodo as they marched up the mountain. Intense, just utterly broken. Sam lifts up Frodo. They keep on climbing forward. Very great, and I feel that's how I feel about this movie. It's a very good movie, but it's not earned. Like how we were talking about earlier, it doesn't feel earned because they all get their successes without... They all overcome their so-called flaws without any struggles and without even the flaws being clearly, you know, shown to us. Like, what exactly are these dudes' problems, you know? They either have the problem thrust upon them, like Frodo. They have the problem... It's not any fundamental problem with themselves.
Yeah.
Like, anybody would have been corrupted by the ring. So it's not really satisfying to see him become a better person, see Frodo become a better person, because, like, he didn't even have a problem in the first place, right? It wasn't his fault that he had to deal with the ring. Sam was just perfect through the whole way. Merry and Pippin, as awesome as it was to see them really, you know, become cool people, it's like, they didn't really struggle for it. They didn't earn it. It just happened. So, with all that in mind, I still greatly enjoyed the series. I think the world building is probably some of the best to ever come out in...
Yes.
Just ever, period. It is some of the most... The plot itself was rock solid. Very, very interesting, very exciting all the way through. Yeah. Characters were just trash, pretty much. I think that I really hate to say it, but the characters were just trash. They were bad. They were cardboard. Yeah. Some of them had personalities, but even then, they didn't really go anywhere. They didn't do anything. So, with all that in mind,
one more final thing. Or this is just a quick thought too. I just think it's kind of this just stuck out to me in the movie. When you see Legolas and Gimli counting how many orcs they kill, it's just kind of funny. When you see all these, like, men trying to just stay alive and all these women and children screaming and running for their lives and they think it's a game. That's just kind of funny to me.
little elven and dwarven psychopaths.
yeah. Like, literally all these people want is to stay alive and it doesn't even happen. And they think it's a game, too. So, I don't know. That's just kind of quick thought right there. So, what would you rate The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King? That's a mouthful.
Initially, I was going to give it an 8. But after talking with you and really thinking it over, I'm going to have to go for a 7 myself.
Yeah, I'm going for a 7 too. I'd have to agree with you there. I was thinking of maybe 6.
If we release this on YouTube, we're going to be flamed. You know that, right?
Yeah. I was thinking maybe 6.5 would be better because of how much of a chore it is to watch all these movies, but I'll mention that in our retrospective. 7.
Okay.
Resentful 7. So, thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate you. We're so sorry we've been gone this long. I know, it's bad, and we need to be consistent. We're going to, believe me, we have We've made a blood pact that cannot be broken, haven't
Hold
we,
on,
Tom?
wait, I did not agree to this.
Well, okay, no more need to talk about that. So, be
I did
sure
not
to
agree
listen
to this.
On...
My blood is still in
be
my
sure
body,
to
man.
Listen on Apple Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Be sure to tell your friends about it, too. Get the word out, and hopefully we might have a special guest coming on soon. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. And we'll get back to you guys pretty soon. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. Bye.
That's it, we're done. Okay.